Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalms 110. Psalm 110. I know this. God's word is not going to return unto him void. I know, according to the scriptures, and I truly believe this, that the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. This is the means by which God's going to call out his people. This is the only message that any sinner will ever hear by which God will grant life. This is the most important thing that we can ever do, is what we're doing right here. Everything else in this world pales into nothingness. I don't care. Nothing is as important as hearing the gospel. To fail to hear the gospel is absolutely to the damnation of a man's soul. I pray that God bless the message today. I believe when he said, my word's not going to return void, it's going to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. I pray God have mercy on us today. Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ was made flesh. And that's what the scripture says. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. He actually came into this world. God assumed flesh. Holy flesh. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. God Almighty walked upon this earth in flesh. John said, we saw him. We touched him. Our hands have handled the word of life. The Spirit of God here is going to relate a conversation that was spoken by Jehovah. Now here's a mysterious thing. I'm just going to be up front with you. Whenever we see, and I've told you this so many times, and if you don't have a Bible, please get next to somebody that's got one, because I want you to look. I don't want you to just listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying, but look in the scriptures and see what I'm saying. Whenever you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that means Jehovah, God. God, triune God. Father, Son, Spirit, God. And whenever you see capital L, little O, little R, little D, that sets forth God in human flesh. The Lord, the Adonai, the Messiah. That was the way that the translators, they knew that it was a different word. It was a different title. And that was the way they wrote it, Freddie, so that we would understand when it says Lord, if it's all capital, it's talking about Jehovah, the unapproachable God who is absolutely a consuming fire. Unapproachable by anything but holiness. And when they'd write the other title, capital L-O-R-D, it meant God in human flesh. Now I want us to consider for just a minute the glory of what the Holy Spirit has said unto us this morning. I want us to listen to a conversation where Jehovah was speaking to the Messiah. Jehovah in human flesh. You say, well, I can't understand that. I don't understand it either. I'll agree with you. It's way over our heads. But I'm telling you, this is the way it is. One of these days, by God's grace, we're going to understand it. We're going to see Him as He is. But suffice it to say, let us hear this glorious conversation. How can God Almighty be approached? Only in one who is God and man. There's got to be a mediator. How do you approach a judge if that judge is only approached in a mediator? How are you going to approach him without a mediator? Now listen to what the Word of God has to say. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord, Jehovah, the I Am, the Father that no man has seen, but the Son, God who is Spirit, the one who has spoken from heaven concerning His pleasure with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, now look at it, said unto my Lord, said unto God the Son, as the Messiah. Jehovah said to Jehovah made flesh, He who is the glorious head and surety of His people. Here's what He said. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now, Psalms, I looked this up. I tried to get as close as I could. I would say somewhere, according to my sources, somewhere between 1,000 and 1,100 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was made flesh, these words were written. Here, Almighty God is speaking to the Messiah. Jehovah is speaking to the Messiah. One God. Manifested in three persons, Father, Son, Spirit. Jehovah is speaking to the Messiah concerning the finished work and the reward of the work of the Messiah hundreds of years before his incarnation. Prophecies had been given concerning His obedience, His sacrifice. And usually you'll find that those prophecies always were set forth concerning the present or done. Listen to Psalm 22:18. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. And in time, they did. But the Scripture, that's Psalm 22, hundreds of years before they do it. Spoken of as done. This is what they've done. Listen to Isaiah 53. Isaiah, the prophet, Old Testament. Isaiah 53, 4 to 6. Surely He hath borne our griefs. It didn't say He shall, though He would in time. But He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and wounded. But He was wounded For our transgressions he was bruised, for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And at the cross, he was actually made sin. So we behold this glorious declaration of Jehovah before the Lord Jesus Christ ever assumed flesh, saying to him in the book of Psalms, 1,000 years before, the Lord Jehovah said unto my Messiah, my surety, my priest before God. Here's what he said. Sit thou at my right hand. No priest ever was told by God to sit down except this one. You know, the priest in the Old Testament, there was no chair in the holy place. Why? They were never done. The blood of bulls and goats, will that ever put away one sin? 1,500 years of sacrifices. I wonder how many tons and tons and tons of blood were shed. But by the shedding of the blood of bulls and goats, no man. But here, this one, this priest, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, one, himself, he sat down. Done. Finished. He had glorified the Father on earth with his loving obedience, perfect obedience. Never deviated in word, thought, deed. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He had finished the work of the Father, that work that the Father had given him concerning the redemption and salvation of his people, in the defeating of all the enemies of God's people, of sin and Satan and death, by one sacrifice. He finished it. And the Father said, sit down. Sit down. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Sit down as the representative of the bride. Sit down. You've redeemed my sheep, the church. You sit until I make every rebel to be laid beneath your feet. And having completed the work, finished that work of Jehovah, Jehovah had two great promises that he gave him out of these scriptures. Now listen to these two great promises. You sit down. And then he said in verse 2, here's the first promise he gave him. He said, the Lord. Now this is the same Lord that's speaking in verse 1, the Lord, Jehovah. Here the Lord says. In other words, this is what Jehovah's saying. I am going to do this. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Jehovah has told the Messiah, based upon your work, upon your obedience, upon the completion of the work that I gave you to do, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. What does that mean? That means that he's going to send the glorious gospel, the rod of the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, the message that honors him The gospel is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jehovah said, I'm going to send that glorious gospel, that proclamation of what you've done. I'm going to send it out of Zion. I'm going to send it out through my church. How's he going to do that? He's going to raise up some preachers. That's what he's going to do. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord is going to be saved. How are they going to call whom they've not heard? How are they going to hear without a preacher? God has been pleased by the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching, I've told you that before, but what the world considers foolishness. You mean to tell me that the only thing that is necessary for the salvation of a sinner is the preaching of a gospel? That's exactly what I'm telling you. That's exactly what I'm telling you. And all of this other stuff that the world comes up with is just fluff. That's all it is. It's just silliness. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send the rod of your strength, the rod of your power, the message of the gospel, and I'm going to send it out of the church. Romans 1:1 declares, this gospel is the gospel of Christ. Of the gospel of God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. It is the gospel of Christ. That's what I just quoted, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. And as far as the Holy Spirit, this gospel is revealed to be the ministration of the Spirit of God. He takes it and blesses it. Gives a man a new heart. Teaches him the gospel. Teaches him of Christ. Whenever you hear the gospel, I'm going to tell you what you're going to hear. You're going to hear of the honor and the glory and the power and the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has honored the Father. He's going to send the rod of Christ's strength, the gospel, as it's preached through his church. And then what the Father has said is, I want you to rule in the midst of thine enemies. Two things are said here, ruling in the midst of his enemies. Almighty God, by his glorious declaration of Christ through the preaching of the gospel, is going to rule in the midst of this world and his enemies. He's going to absolutely be unhindered. He's not going to be hindered by any means. Through the preaching of a gospel, who's going to stop him? Who's going to stop him? If there's one of God's elect in this room this morning, and Almighty God is pleased to save him, I'm going to tell you something. All of hell can't stop him. Who's going to stop him? You're going to rule in the midst of thine enemies. His word is going to accomplish the purpose for which God sent it. Almighty God is going to rule in the midst of his enemies. Secondly, those who are objects of his mercy, who he's eternally loved and chosen in Christ. When they were born in Adam, you know who they are? Their enemies in their mind. I've told you that before. Not in God's mind. Not in God's mind. But their enemies in their mind. They hate God just as much as any rebel that's ever been born in this earth. They hate him. The carnal mind is enmity against God. But let me tell you what God's going to do. Because of the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, having put away their debt at Calvary, justified them by his blood. Who? All that the Father gave him. Now here's what's happened. Here's what happened at Calvary. The Father had given Christ a people from before the foundation of the world. He gave them to Christ to be the surety. You save them. You redeem them. You save them. And Christ went to the cross with them. In him. And he bore their guilt. He was made sin for them. I lay down my life for the sheep. That's what he said, John 10:15. They said, well, I think he died for the sins of the whole world. I've told you. I said, well, God didn't say that. Man said it. God didn't say it. I'm telling you now, by his strength, he bore their guilt in his own body. And he was forsaken of God. Where sin was found, the law demanded justice. And he bore their guilt. And by his strength, he put it away. And the Father has promised him, you're going to rule in the midst of your enemies. Almighty God, by his power and strength, is going to come to them. And he's going to tell them, he's passed by that baby that was, you know, he was out there in the field and his navel was uncut. And he said, he saw that baby in his own blood and he said, live. Live. Like he told Ezekiel, can these dry bones, these dead bones, can they live? Lord, you know. Well, he said, you preach to them. You preach to them. And I will cause them to live. Almighty God is going to save his people. Rule in the midst of thine enemies. And then lastly, listen to this promise. The second promise. Here's what he said. Here's what Jehovah said to the Messiah. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Now here's what God has to say. Thy people. Here's what God has to say. The Lord Jesus Christ has a people. That's what he said. Thy people. Given him by the Father. And here's what he's promised. You're going to have them. You're going to have them. I gave them to you. You redeemed them. You bore their guilt. And you're going to have them. I give you my word. I promise you. Thy people shall be willing. You know what that means? That means they're going to be volunteers. You said, well, I thought you said that no man has a free will. He doesn't. His will is bound up in trespasses and sins. But God's going to give him a new will. God's going to make a new man. He's going to make a new man that's got a new heart. God's going to give him, I'm going to put a new spirit in you. I'm going to change you. Thy people shall be volunteers, willing to believe, where before they didn't. Willing to come, willing to love, willing to seek, willing to obey, willing to follow as they're led and taught by God's Spirit. Father has promised the Son, this is the way it's going to be. Thy people shall be willing. When? In the day of thy power, whenever it pleases God. That's what Paul said. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and saved me by his grace. When did God come to Paul, Saul of Tarsus, in power? You know that. On the road to Damascus. When did he come to you? Whenever it pleased him. I used to remember thinking as a kid, I think what I'm going to do. This is the way I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to live my life just as, you know, there's a lot of fun I want to have in this world. But I think just before I die, now you're going to think this is foolish. You know what I'm going to say. Just before I die, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. I don't want to go to hell, don't get me wrong. But I'm going to sow my seed and my oats, and I'm going to just do what I want to do. And whenever I decide, okay, I guess I'm getting ready to leave this world. I guess I better get things right and turn over a new leaf. Oh, what a foolish thought. In the day of God's power, thy people shall be willing. In the day of thy power, whenever the Spirit of God comes, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power in the beauties of holiness. What does that mean? That is in the splendor and honor and ornament of Christ's holiness. Whenever God's people are moved upon by the Holy Spirit of God, made willing in the day of thy power, you know what they're going to see? They're going to see the beauty of his holiness. They're going to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that is deserving of all the honor and glory and praise. Listen to Isaiah 33:17. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the Lamb that is far off. That they're going to know that the blessed privilege that they have now revealed to them. They've always had it. They were always sons, but they didn't know it. Oh, but in the day of his power, when they're made willing in the day of his power, they're going to behold, I am what I am by the one who is altogether beautiful. The beauty of his holiness. He paid my debt. He bore my guilt. He put away my sin. And I didn't do anything but rebel against him. He saved me by grace and gave me faith to believe it. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Now that right there, now I'll bear it out here in the last part. I'm going to tell you, there's an allusion given here concerning the dew, regular dew. I mean, you go out there, you know, early morning and it's just, you see dew. You know, I'll see it. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. From the womb of the morning, it has reference to the spectacle of seeing dew on the ground. Just as the dew is formed, is produced, it's conceived in the womb of the morning, marvelously displayed by the breaking of the rays of the sun, that's when you see it. You go out there and you think, When did that dew start? When did it, I went to bed, you know, and but I woke up this morning. There was a heavy dew on the ground. How did it get there? God made it. God produced it. It's a product of God's hands. And just as the dew is the product of God's hands, they that are born of God are born of his hand and not by their own flesh. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. Continuing with the same thought, just like the from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth, just continuing that context right there. The willingness of God's people, that is them beholding and seeing the beauty of Christ's holiness when they're made willing in the day of his power, the Holy Spirit reveals here the surety that Christ is going to have his people. Now I'm going to show you, and then I'll stop this morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. Let me tell you what that's saying, and then I'll prove it. What that verse, thou hast the dew of thy youth, what it's saying is, Lord, you're going to have your people according to God's promise. You're going to have your people. Those that you have bought, paid for with your own precious blood. Listen to Micah 5:7, and I'll show you how the dew is speaking of God's people. Micah 5:7, and the remnant of Jacob Now, who's that talking about? Well, that's talking about the elect. Jacob have I loved. That's what he said. Esau have I hated. Now, the remnant of Jacob, the hucksters, the tricksters, those that Almighty God has set his affection on, the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as dew, D-E-W, from the Lord, from the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people. There's a lot of folks in this world. How many? A lot of folks in this world. How many of them are the dew from Jehovah unto the Lord? As many as Almighty God is pleased to show mercy. How did they become dew? God chose them. Was there any merit in them, Jeff? No. He did it according to his good pleasure. And this is what he said. You're due unto my son. You're due unto my son. I'm going to honor my son through you. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. Here's what God has promised. God the Father has promised. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. You have them. You've always had them. And I'm going to tell you something else. You're always going to have them. You give them by your strength eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. And listen to this. They're never going to perish. One of these days, we're going to see him as he is. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen. All right.